Father, thank you for your precious word, the precious word of truth. It truly is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And you've said, Lord Jesus, man shall not live by bread alone, but he will live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So, Father, as we come to your word this morning, we do so very humbly. We do so conscious that if your Holy Spirit doesn't help us, we're lost. We've got nothing to say, nothing good to offer your people. But Father, I'm believing as I stand before you this morning that the message you've laid in my heart will bless your people and will bless those who listen to the recording on the internet. I pray your blessing now upon your word. And I pray that you will help each one of us, both here and those who will listen to the recording. I pray that you will help each one of us to open our minds and open our hearts to receive your truth. Lord Jesus, you said, if we abide in your word, if we continue in your word, then we're your disciples in truth, in reality, indeed. And you said, we'll come to know the truth, and the truth will set us free. So may that be so in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And so the title of this series of messages is The Life That Pleases God. The life that pleases God. Is it possible to please God? How can we please God? What do we have to do? Are there any examples in the Bible that will help us to discover what it is about a life that is pleasing to God? Remember last Sunday I introduced the subject by saying that there are three groups of people both outside the church and inside the church. Firstly, there are people who live to please themselves. Remember I said many people have the attitude both in the church and outside the church. It's tragic when it's inside the church. They say, it's my life. I can do what I want with it. Do you remember what I said last Sunday? If a Christian says that, there's a serious problem. The child of God must never say that. Why not? I showed you the scripture. Paul says we are bought with a price. You're not your own, he says. Oh, well, what's the price I've been bought with? Peter says you've been bought not with corruptible things as silver and gold, but you've been bought with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish, without spot. Bought with precious blood. That's how precious you are to God. He's redeemed you. Redeemed by precious blood. So friend, you cannot live to please yourself. You really must not. You must endeavor with the help of God, His Word, the Holy Spirit. You must endeavor to live to please Him. But there are these three groups of people. People who live to please themselves. And then there are people who live to please other people. Always worried about what other people think. And they try and please everybody. But it's true what somebody said. You can please some of the people some of the time, but you can't please all of the people all of the time. And the reality is, as a Christian, you can't afford to spend a lot of time trying to please other people. And thirdly, the third group are the people who live to please God. I stand before you this morning as your pastor and I say with all of my heart, I want to spend the rest of my life pleasing God. That will not please everybody. I'll be honest with you. Of course, as you get older, your family members, so many have gone to be with Jesus. And my family and Ruth's family is quite small now. Tragically, my daughter does not walk with Jesus. She used to. Sadly, she doesn't. But I've had to leave her in His hands. I think back, and some of you may be so burdened for your children. Oh yes, pray. But maybe you beat yourself up. By that I mean, you keep asking yourself, where did I go wrong? You know, I lived a good life. I prayed with my family. I prayed with my children. I took them to church. I read the Bible. I did all these things. Where did I go wrong? And you allow the devil to come and cause you to beat yourself up. Listen, let me show you something. You go to the Bible, you open it, and it opens at Genesis. There you have the first family, Adam and Eve. There you have the perfect Father, Father God. Let me ask you a question. Were God's children in the Garden of Eden, were they perfect? Was it God's fault? No. The perfect Father. Maybe there's a word for somebody this morning. You've been beating yourself up. Stop it. Stop it. God, I believe, is able to reach my daughter. In my daughter's case, one of the things that really shook her was when my wife died. My first wife died with cancer. My daughter watched her rot with cancer. 14 years of age, my daughter was. My wife was 45. That was the first thing. There were other things that happened through life. People, how people treated her. People treated her badly in a church she was a member of. And other things have come along. But don't beat yourself up. Many of us in the church this morning, we have children, we have grandchildren. They're not walking with God. Ah, but God can change all of that. God has a way of reaching people. I would say, let us continue to love them. Let's continue to be there for them. Let's continue to pray for them. Amen. Be sensitive. Listen to God. Is there something else we can do? Is there some other way we could reach them maybe? Let God show us. And so the question is, who do you live to please this morning? Who do you live to please? Be honest with yourself. Who do you live to please? This morning I want to talk about the Bible's best example of a man who pleased God. The Bible's best example of a man who pleased God. The Bible says of this man pleased not himself. And twice the Bible says, this man was commended by God as a man in whom he was well pleased. Dare I ask the question, who was this man? You know it was Jesus, don't you? Who was this man and what was it about him that pleased God so much? This person called Jesus. This person who was God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This person who existed before he was born. Bethlehem was not the beginning of Jesus. Bethlehem was simply the physical appearance of Jesus in a human body. But what was it about Jesus? Because he lived in a human body like yours and like mine. He got tired, he got hungry, he got thirsty. He cried. What was it about Jesus that pleased the Father so much? The Bible tells us. Matthew 3 verse 17. Let me set the scene for you. Jesus is being baptized. He came to John the Baptist to be baptized in the River Jordan. And Jordan said, no, no way. I need to be baptized by you, not you by me. John had said, there's someone coming and I'm not worthy to do his sandals up. His, you know, I'm not worthy. John the Baptist said, I must decrease, but he must increase. And God had told John the Baptist, you'll know who my son is because you'll see the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. And that happened before John's eyes. Jesus told him, he said, no, John, baptize me. It's right. It's right that I should fulfill every aspect of righteousness. It's right that I, as the Son of God and the Son of Man, it's right that I should do everything that God requires of men and women. Baptize me. And the Bible says in verse 17 of Matthew 3, and thank you, brothers, for the work on the laptop. A voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. I don't suppose there's a parent here this morning who doesn't want to be able to say that over their child. Or a grandparent. Oh, this is my daughter. This is my son. Oh, not only do I love them, but I'm well pleased by them. That's the desire of our heart. And then later, when Jesus was transfigured, his visible appearance was transformed. His face lit up with the glory of God. It's Matthew 17, verse 5. Jesus has Peter, James, and John with him. Moses and Elijah have also visited. Peter had a wonderful idea, maybe a bit like you feel about church sometimes. I hope often Peter had the wonderful idea, oh, it's so good up here on the mountaintop. Peter, James, John, Jesus, Moses, Elijah. Wow. Can't we build a church here? Can't we, you know, put up something? Nope. Because down at the bottom of the mountain was a demonic lad, out of his mind, and he needed healing. You know the story. If you don't, go to your Bible, and when you get a moment, have a look. But as Peter, James, and John look at Jesus, he's changed. His whole countenance lights up. He's transfigured before them. And then there's a voice. It's a bright cloud. A bright cloud overshadows them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. I'm not being flippant when I say that's the desire of my heart. That Almighty God might be able to say of this little Irishman, this is one of my children. This is one of my servants, in whom I'm well pleased. That's my aim. That's my ambition. What about you? Oh, I please myself. You don't, do you? Question. What was it about Jesus that pleased his Father so much? Well, I've just got three things. You know, in messages, those of you who preach, you could have 7, 10, 20. No, just 3. You can add others. Someone might want to pick the message up and take it further. First of all, his humility. His humility. I get this from Philippians chapter 2. Could we go there? Philippians 2, 5 to 12. I've said it many times, and I'm sure I'll say it often again, that the best translation of the Bible is the King James Version. Do I ever use other translations? Occasionally. If I want to be able to understand something easier, better, able to quote it so that others will understand it, yes, I do. But the King James Version, that's my rock. I don't deviate from that. I say all that because I want to read this passage from the Amplified Bible. The Bible says, let this attitude, remember the subject, the life that pleases God, the life of Jesus, the things about Jesus that please God, number one, humility. Look at this. Let this attitude, says the Apostle Paul, let this attitude and purpose and humble mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Let him be your example in humility. Verse 6, who, although being essentially one with God and in the form of God, possessing the fullness of the attributes which make God God, he did not think this equality with God was a thing to be eagerly grasped or retained. Verse 7, notice, he stripped himself of all privileges and rightful dignity so as to assume the guise of a servant or a slave, in that he became like men and he was born a human being, verse 8. And after he had appeared in human form, he abased and humbled himself still further, and he carried his obedience to the extreme of death, even the death of the cross. And those of you who are Bible students will know that it means even a cross kind of death. Verse 9. As a result of Jesus being humble, leaving behind the glory, the splendor, all the privileges of heaven, imagine, and coming down to this earth where he was spat on, where he was rejected, where he was despised, where he was hated. What a contrast. But because of his humility, the Bible says, therefore, the King James, I remember it, God hath highly exalted him. Amplified, therefore, because he stooped so low, God has highly exalted him and has freely bestowed on him the name that is above every name. Hallelujah. Verse 10. That in or at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue frankly and openly confess and acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. When you enter, when you leave the world, world's ways, customs, attitudes, behavior, when you leave that and you come into the kingdom of God, having been born again, things dramatically change. And in the kingdom of God, as a Christian, the way up is what? Down. You see, the Bible says that God resists the proud. God resists the peacock Christians. Ah, but he gives grace. He gives favor to who? Stay humble, brother. Stay humble, sister. Amen. You stay humble. And just like God highly exalted his son, God will lift you up. God will promote you. You stay humble. Number two. Not only his humility pleased God, but his victory in the hour of temptation. We're all tempted. All of us. Peter warns, he says, be on your guard, be alert. Because there's an adversary. Your adversary, the devil, you know it. If you know it, quote it with me. Your adversary, the devil, he lurketh around like a what? Like a roaring lion. Doing what? Whom he may devour. The first Adam failed miserably in the Garden of Eden. God said you can eat of every tree of the garden except one. Tree of the good and knowledge. You leave that. Knowledge of good and evil. You leave that one. Let me decide what's good. Let me decide what's evil. Let me decide what's best for you. Got all the others. And you know the story, I'm sure. A devil came along in the form of a snake. My advice to you is please don't talk to snakes. And Satan came along throwing doubt on God's word. Eve, are you really sure? That's what God said. Are you really sure? You see, God knows that in the day you eat, you'll be like God. Ooh. You mean Adam and I can be like God? And God's been keeping that from us. Adam! Come on, honey. Love you, baby. And they both ate. And God said, in the moment you eat, the day you eat thereof, you'll die. You will die spiritually. So the first Adam failed possibly. When temptation came, Adam and Eve failed miserably, hopelessly. Ah! But when the last, not the second Adam, when the last Adam, Jesus Christ, when the devil came to him, thank God Satan met his match. That was a good place to say hallelujah or ouch or something. The devil met his match. Amen. And the devil came and he had the nerve, he had the audacity to quote or misquote the word of God to the one who was the word. If you don't know the story, please read it. Matthew 4, verses 1 to 11. Because the devil came and said, it's written. But he misquoted. Jesus said, listen, it is written. And every time the devil came with a temptation, and he came with three, Jesus countered that temptation, each one of them, with the sword of the Spirit. What am I talking about? What is the sword of the Spirit? The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. And the Bible says Satan left Jesus for a season. And here's something you may have missed in the book of Luke. Luke was a doctor. Dr. Luke mentions Jesus returned from the wilderness having fasted for 40 days, 40 nights and having gone through that time of temptation with the devil. He returned. Oh, the old devil's been at me this week. Oh, I nearly didn't make it this morning. Oh, that old devil. A number of Christians who glorify that monster. I give him no glory. Because greater is he who is in me than he was in the world. Amen? Amen. Jesus was manifest. 1 John 3:8. Jesus was manifest. Jesus was revealed. Jesus left heaven, came to earth, went to the cross, died, crucified, was put in the tomb, third day, raised again. Jesus was manifest that he might destroy the works of the devil. Hallelujah. So don't give the devil glory. Hello, brother, how are you? Oh, the devil. Hello, sister, how are you? Oh, the old devil. Don't give him any glory. The Bible says, Dr. Luke, now a doctor should know. Dr. Luke said of Jesus, he returned. Excuse me. He returned from the wilderness. How? In the power of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Glory. And the Bible says of Jesus, Hebrews 4 verse 15, many of you know it. It's talking about how in Jesus we have a great high priest who's touched by the feelings of our infirmities, our weaknesses. And the writer of Hebrews, who I believe was the Apostle Paul, he says, Jesus, this high priest of ours, he was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Hallelujah. Amen. Thirdly, not only did the humility of Jesus so well please his Father, his victory in the hour of temptation, that so pleased the Father, but there's a third thing, his total submission to the will of God his Father. Total submission. I've seen, so have you. I surrender all. And you think, oh, praise the Lord. Next week, I... You think, just a minute. I thought you did that last week. You see, something I discovered a long time ago. God doesn't take your life and mine by installments. He wants all of it. He wants all of it. And the quicker you and I can just come and say, here, Lord, here I am. From the crown of my head to the soles of my feet, I am yours. Spirit, soul, and body, I'm yours. It's a lovely hymn. Sounds great. Little hands go out and tears flow. Oh. Surrender all. Wonderful if it's true. If it's true and it's real, you'll not be back next week surrendering another little bit. You know what I mean? Hello? See, Paul, we looked at it last week. Paul says in Romans 12, he says, present your bodies. By how? By installment? No. Present your body. All of it as a, what? A living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service, and don't be conformed to the world. Quoted it last Sunday. So the point is, the question is, what pleased God so much about Jesus, his son? His humility, his victory in the hour of temptation, and thirdly, his total submission to the will of God. Hebrews 10 verse 7. Hebrews 10 verse 7, this is speaking about Jesus. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book, the word of God, in the volume of the book, it's written of me. What have I come to do? To do thy will, O God. Verse 9, then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. Romans 15:13, the Apostle Paul says, even Christ pleased not himself. Why not? Because his ultimate purpose was to please God and to accomplish his will. Let me show you a few lovely scriptures in John's Gospel. John 6, first of all. Not going to be long now. John 6, 38. It's one of my favorite scriptures. In fact, all of these, I treasure them. John 6, 38. Jesus said, I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. John 4:34. Those of you who are Bible students know that this is the story of Jesus meeting the Samaritan woman at Jacob's well. The disciples that had gone off to get some food, and they came back. And it's as if they ignore completely the woman sitting on the well talking to Jesus, and they want Jesus to start eating food. Jesus said, no, thank you very much. And they said, oh, who gave him something? And Jesus said, look, he said, my meat, what nourishes me? What keeps me going? Is what? Is what? All I'm hearing is, is what? Doing the will of God. That's my nourishment. John 4:34. My meat, my nourishment, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish the work. John 5:19. Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. John 8:28, Jesus said, I do nothing of myself, but as the Father has taught me, I speak those things, verse 29, that he hath sent, he that sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. How about that? I do always those things that please the Father. Is that true of you? Is it true of me? Remember, we're not here to please ourselves. We're not here to please other people. We're here to please God. May I invite you to spend the rest of your life living to please him. Just like Jesus could say, I do always those things that please him. Even in one of the most painful and darkest periods of his life, Jesus remained totally submissive to the will of God, his Father. I'm in Matthew 26:39 now. Matthew 26:39, the Bible records how that Jesus went with three of the disciples for a time of prayer. Calvary is getting close. The cross is getting close. Jesus left them to pray. He said, I'm going to go a little further. I'd just like to pray on my own. You stay here and pray. And so he did pray, and he came back and they were asleep. That happened several times. And I'm so grateful the Bible gives us, as it were, a copy of the prayer, the words that Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. The Bible says Jesus, he fell on his face and he prayed, saying, oh my Father, if it be possible, let this cup of suffering that I'm going through right now, so severe that his blood was coming out through the pores of his skin. So intense. Imagine the spotless Lamb of God about to have placed on him the sin of the whole world. Oh, Jesus wasn't afraid of the cross. No. He said he had come for this purpose. He was born to die. He was born for Calvary. He was born for the cross. But what he was going through in the time before the cross, "Oh God," he said, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless," here it is, "nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." Verse 42, he prayed again the second time. And he prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass from me, except I drink it, thy," do you hear it? "Thy will be done." He went away again and he prayed this third time, saying the same words. Luke 11, the disciples came to Jesus and they said, "Jesus, Master, will you teach us to pray? Like John taught his disciples." And Jesus said, "Okay, when you pray, say." "Say what?" "Say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come." What's the next bit? "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." I'm aware the clocks have gone back an hour. That doesn't mean I'm going to preach for another hour, so relax. let me wind this up nicely. Maybe you say, "Jim, thanks for the message. Nice hearing about Jesus. But that was Jesus. He was the Son of God. It's impossible for me to live a life like that, a life that pleases God." And you know what? You're right. I've got you all sitting up now. You're right. It is impossible to live a life that pleases God if you try and live it on your own. In your own strength, you'll never do it. And it's not about rushing here and rushing there, rushing somewhere else, and rushing somewhere else, and doing this, doing that, doing something else. It's not about that. It's about knowing His will, revealed in His word, and then just doing it. What did Jesus say? "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll help you to get burnout. Or I help you to have a nervous breakdown." No. "My yoke is easy. My burden is light." I say again, it's impossible to live a life that pleases God if you try and live it in your own strength and ability. I get this from John 15 verse 5. John 15, 5, Jesus said, "Without me you can do what?" Nothing. But with Jesus, with the life of Jesus in you, through the Holy Spirit's power, things are different. Listen to the Apostle Paul, Galatians 2:20. Galatians 2:20, Paul says, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." It's my body, but it's His life. "And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." Amplified Bible. "I have been crucified with Christ. In Him I have shared His crucifixion. It is no longer I who live, but Christ the Messiah lives in me, and the life I now live in the body, I live by faith in, by, adherence to," excuse me, "and reliance on and complete trust in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." You know, when you were born again by the Spirit of God, you were born into the family of God. You became a child of God. And the Bible says when you are born again by the Spirit of God, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, you know it by heart, many of you, if any man, any woman be in Christ, what are they? They're a new creature, a new creation. What's happened to the old things? And all things have become? You're looking at a new man this morning. Hallelujah. Bible says, reading and thinking now of what Ezekiel says, Ezekiel 36, I think it is, where God says, I'll give you a new spirit. I'll give you a new heart. Peter talks about how we've been given a new nature. 2 Peter 1:2-4, grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. They're all here. Exceeding great and precious promises. Notice that by these you might be partakers of what? The divine nature. Have you ever heard people say, oh, I take after my father. Oh, he had a short temper. What? I take after my mother. I take after my grandfather. My grandfather in Ireland was a little man. And I'm big and I'm hunky. He was a little man who drank a lot and had a vicious temper. Have you ever seen me drunk? No. Have you ever seen me in a temper? No. Annoyed? Yes. But not angry where I do not take after my mother, my grandmother, my great-grandmother, my aunt, my uncle. I take after my father. Because I have become a partaker of his nature. That was a good place to say hallelujah. And you too, if you're a child of God. And stop saying that nonsense. Oh, I take after my mother. I take after, yeah. If they were a godly grandmother who lived by the book full of the Holy Spirit, hallelujah, on fire for God, tongues talking, singing, praising, yes, take after them by all means. But don't blame how you are on them. Any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. That includes you. There's a wonderful clock. It got stuck at 12 o'clock and it still says 12. Do you know that? But it's not. It can't be. Oh no. I need to finish. You want to be like Jesus? Keep being filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18. Why? Because the fruit of the Spirit, that which the Holy Spirit will produce in and through your life is what? Love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. The fruit of the Spirit is, no, joy. Peace, yes. The fruit of the Spirit is long suffering. Are you a patient person? It's gone ever so quiet. The fruit of the Spirit is, yes, that's another one, faithfulness and gentleness and self control. Number of people I hear saying, oh, I can't help it. Yes, you can. With the help of the Holy Spirit, you can. That's what the Bible says. Self-control. Philippians 2:13. It's God that works in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. I really am wrapping up now, so here's good news for you. What was it about Jesus that pleased the Father? Number one, remember? Humbleness, yeah, that's the Italian version of humility. Thank you, sister. Humility, yeah, correct. Number two, victory and temptation. He didn't give in, he didn't yield, he used the sword of the Spirit. So can you. And the third thing we looked at was what? What I'm hearing is total submission to the will of God. Yeah, bless you. Friends, the good news is, if you're a child of God, you've got someone living inside of you who will help you to please Father. Because that someone inside of you is Jesus. Amen. Amen. And if he, which he did, if he pleased the Father, he lives in you. Good news. It's not about me. It's not about me struggling. Not about me doing my best. No. I just keep being filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will manifest love, joy, peace, goodness, gentleness, meekness, self-control. I'm a partaker of the divine nature because as I read the Word of God, the Word of God becomes part of me. I become like it. So will you. And all God's people said. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, will you open your life to Him this morning? Listening to this message on your computer. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior and Lord, open up your heart, open up your life to Him. Invite Him in right now. Come to my heart, Lord Jesus. Come into my life, Lord Jesus. I want you as my Savior. I want you as my Lord. Forgive me for my sin. I repent of all my sin. I trust in you alone. I trust in your sacrifice on that cross. I believe you died for me. I believe you have risen again from the dead. And I want from this moment on to confess you as my Savior, as my Lord. Father, I pray that you will bless this message to every person who's heard it. May it be a life-changing message, I pray. May it bear much fruit for your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.